Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We hope everyone's doing great. How are y'all?
Warm and not freezing cold in the snow.
Yeah, we've been kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
What's been going on? What for all of our tens of viewers outside of our area.
Outside this area.
Yeah.
Snow has
the
been
snow happening. Isn't really to blame for our inconsistency, but we'll use it.
Oh, schedules and snow. We had scheduled to film last week, two episodes, I think, and then we had to cancel. And so,
but the reason we skipped this past week is because we were just all
we couldn't coordinate our calendars to be here because there's
life.
It was just crazy. There's a lot going on, ministry wise, family wise, and so we just couldn't.
Yeah, but moving forward, Kelly's going to coordinate our calendars because that's what we've been doing here with things. Like, we don't know what to do, just Kelly will do it.
Well,
just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been January's a great time of the year because, well, I don't know, you know, people know, but like our numbers, we're having record numbers right now in attendance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a lot of new people and praise the Lord, some of those want to meet. And so that's a time, takes time, and then we have ongoing issues, and then we have, you know, things we're trying to get going for the year, preparing for Vision Night. We have a staff retreat that we're actually at while this episode drops, like
events like Night to Shine, like everything just kind of
and there's a lot happening.
We have some new staff, so like
there's
a lot.
And then there was snow.
And then there was
it
snow.
It really was like, that was so beautiful and so needed, but also like from a work standpoint, when I would start thinking about work, I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah.
No, I know. I was trying to do a lot of work from home and that was interesting.
It's so hard. I mean, and it was like, I think all of us, like everybody was kind of like, we were all mostly working at night because during the day it was kind of pointless because of, you know, being home.
We have a baby in our house, so I would get up at 3 something in the morning and feed him and just stay up.
Yeah.
And just like,
and work do it. Yeah.
Till the other kids woke up.
Yeah. Wow. And also, it was just like, this is, I wouldn't say once in a lifetime, but if you live here in Florida, it kind of is. That was like not going to happen again.
Yeah,
so we're not
going to enjoy every moment with you know, the kids, with neighbors.
You
and
did you guys just keep like feeling like this? It was fake. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally just like, and wasn't it crazy how like the first night on Tuesday night, it was so bright outside at night. Like you could just see. So
bright. The snow was
and
like,
so, it was awesome. Yeah. And so we were outside late.
Just, I wish you would do that once a year. I would love that once a year.
Yeah. And for a day, like a day, and then it doesn't affect.
That was good. It melted in like 2 days. Yeah, it was great.
We still had we're recording this on Monday. We still had the base of our snowman in our front yard.
Oh, wow.
We made
some snow cream. Did you make any?
We did.
Yes. Okay. That was the first.
Some of our kids thought it was disgusting because they couldn't believe we were eating it.
It was good.
I mean, it was not the flavor. They were just like, I can't believe we're eating this because it was outside. And it was like,
they saw
worse
Ezra rolling
things
around in the snow. That's
right.
That's why.
I felt like a pioneer woman going outside and gathering the snow.
That's right.
For food.
What were you using to gather?
You were doing this upward motion.
I was like reading, you know, it was like, don't use it from the ground and all this.
Oh,
and so Chris
okay.
was like, go to the car because it was like really piled on top of the car. So
we did
it
that
was like
and
a,
we put a bowl out and just let it gather.
Oh,
so
we, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That was Ezra's idea. Brilliant. 9-year-old.
Nice. Well, it was a lot of fun. A lot of other exciting things happened in the world culturally.
Just a few.
Yeah. On the 20th, it was Martin Luther King holiday, and then it was also inauguration.
Yes.
So a lot that happens on that day. There were a couple things. Always going to be some controversy.
There's always going to be
like
controversy.
This.
It doesn't matter who you like, who your person is, who's elected. There's going to be controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the American way. That's true.
We thrive on it.
Yeah.
I was thinking how stressful it must be, which they might be used to it. But especially in today's age, the amount of recording, like video that's on them the entire time. So literally anything that you do is going to become a meme.
Absolutely.
You know,
have been a lot of memes from the inauguration, especially
a lot of
like,
good ones.
Yeah. I mean,
about
everybody.
So
yeah.
I mean,
the Bush one, George W. is my favorite.
Which one about us?
He's just like,
yes,
that
his
is
little
the best
smirky
one.
Face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's memes with Elon Musk next to Barron Trump. There's, and there's memes about Biden. There's memes about Trump. I mean, everybody. It's just, it is. That's the world we
live
in.
Did you guys listen to, not the inauguration speech, but I forget what it's called afterwards, where they're in like the other hall and he's just kind of like talking to his people at that point?
I did not listen to that.
And Trump just like rambled for like 35 minutes. And like, some of what he said was good, but also it's just like all these like kind of quirky things that you don't fully understand. And I was thinking, like, that's why we don't give everyone a microphone at church on Bay Shore.
Yeah, because people you don't just, know.
It's so wild how – so, like, I'm used to being, like – in the spotlight, you know, or whatever, like,
yeah, with a microphone,
yeah, right, yeah. Right. But it is funny, like, people who are very articulate, very sane, very great people,
smart, they will, yeah, brilliant people, yeah, yeah,
they will get that mic and then just so
it does, like, something to your brain. It really
what
does.
Is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are they talking about?
You know, no, like,
it's scary,
but Trump. Should actually be very comfortable in front of him. I think he's too comfortable on a mic.
Yeah, I think that's he's just like, I'm the president. I can say what I want to.
That's true.
It was just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple good things, but yeah.
Well, speaking of saying what you want to, some of the controversy we had, there was a sermon that's always given, and Bishop, do we say Buddy or Bud?
Yeah.
I think it was Buddy.
Yeah. Okay. My buddy, your buddy, yeah. Not Trump's buddy.
Yeah.
So she gave a sermon, and do you guys have thoughts on it?
Yeah, the sermon at the inauguration, like the National
Prayer Service.
Prayer Service. Yeah. I mean, I have thoughts on it. I think, what did you expect?
Right.
Really?
From her?
Yeah.
Why was she asked, though?
But I think that she is the, is the right word, bishop?
Bishop yeah,
she
yeah.
is the mm-hmm. bishop of that church.
Oh, but like Andy Stanley did it one year for Barack Obama, the same thing.
But I think he spoke. Like, I think he just spoke. So they are, they had it at that church.
Okay.
That church has,
it's
not a like law that they mm-hmm. have to even do the service. It's a tradition, and it's traditionally at the National Cathedral there.
Right,
where they have
right.
it. And so she is the bishop.
Usually there is a bishop in addition to other people that speak, and we just don't hear about it because it's unavailable.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, ultimately it was for what you would expect from an Episcopalian bishop, than that it was on brand, you know, in terms of what you would expect. And I think, you know, in terms of yeah, I don't know. I can talk a little bit more. You want to jump in? Well, go ahead.
No, I mean, it was progressive Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a couple things to identify there is, you know, for a long time, conservative Christians were like blasted for being so political. And, and there's some fair criticism because there are a lot of conservative Christians who have been very political. But where we were in error is thinking that liberal Christians were not very political, you know, and so it was very political. I would not call it a sermon. And I would say there's a lot of things wrong with her being the female pastor. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, it is back to this idea of Jesus being about justice. Yes. And then two issues which have been talked about most of all, and that is immigration, which is a debated political issue. Like, the Christian should care for the refugee. That is, so if they're here, like, it's clear the Christian mandate and how we care for them. But how a country handles immigration is not necessarily a black and white biblical issue.
Yeah.
But yet, there are those who kind of are on both ends of that spectrum. And she was on the side that's like, hey, you got to let them all in. You know, you got to care for all of them. And so I think that was unfair. And then, you know, trans kids thing, like, you know, first of all, like, we should show compassion and mercy as Christians on all people. So I would affirm that. But that doesn't mean, you know, we are okay with that practice and that we don't want legislation that because we have mercy and compassion, we want to protect those children.
Right.
Yeah. So we would be in support of some of the legislation that Trump is proposing. I also think it's a little bit of extreme to say, you know, all these trans kids are scared and all these people are scared. I think there are those that are, but I also think it's very extreme. So as you said, it was on brand, and it's kind of like a dramatized version of all of it because of the moment.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things at play. I mean, the whole theme was the sermon was unity. And so anytime you're doing a sermon based off of a word rather than a text, you're going to, you know, whatever you want it to be, you are. And so
pay attention.
I think, you know, exactly.
May the reader understand.
That's right. So I'll come back to that in a second. I think the other thing is that there's in communication, there's what's said, and then there's also context.
Yeah.
And both of those things are important to communication. So if you go back and read the sermon without context, most of what is said is like, okay, like this does, some of this does fall in line with, you know, this, the teachings of, but then you put it in the context of why and what, you know, mm-hmm. all the things. And it's like, it's so pointed and targeted. So one of the things she says is, you know, President Trump, I beg you to have mercy on these, you know, people that you're making laws that are affecting these people. Well, that is, I think, sterilely, apart from context, like a genuine sentiment, just but it's loaded because of the context. Yeah. And I think that's like, that's where you just have to be like, you have to consider all that in mm-hmm. communication. And then for the Christian, I think we go back to like the theme of unity, and that's a co-opted word. And I think as a Christian, you know, like we're comfortable, like we know that like true unity is only possible because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that unity does supersede even differences mm-hmm. on ideas or theology, because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so when you, like in that sort of, you're divorcing mm-hmm. true unity from the gospel, it's a false unity.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that's, we mm-hmm. have to recognize that like, that is what the world wants. The world wants unity apart from Christ, and that is impossible.
Which is what they wanted at the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, look what we've done.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very humanistic, mm-hmm. so I think it was, if you boil it down to the root of the problem, it was a very humanistic sermon on this ideal of unity and
mercy, even.
And mercy can get washed out.
Yeah, I think it's a humanistic view of mercy as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it goes back to mercy. What is define mercy?
Well, then? Again, so mercy is not getting what you deserve, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. well, but she doesn't believe trans kids are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, and so, I think that's the point. It's like, if you read the words, you're like, that statement, like you even said, like, you know, we want to, at the same time, we would be in favor of laws that, you know, but at the same time, we do want to have mercy. We want to have care and compassion for those.
Right.
And they would be like, that's not care and compassion because you're saying it's wrong and you can't say something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I go, no, like, you can't tell me what I mean by, you know, by this word. So I think, ultimately I'm like, it is to be expected when you are approaching things really from a universalistic, when you're trying to affirm all faiths. I mean, there's elements of that mm-hmm. in the service, you know, when you're trying to affirm all faiths, I think for the Christian, like you sit through that and you're just like, it's like, if you've ever been to an interfaith thing where there's different, you just kind of like, like, and even
I'm more like,
yeah, but I'm more offended. I mean, interfaith things like don't like personally offend me because I understand where people come from. What is offensive is when you have a Christian, you know, participating in an interfaith thing who like basically moves away from the mm-hmm. message of Christianity to placate the other faith. So I'm like, no, just this is what we believe.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. You know. Like,
when your definition of absolute truth is different, then it's like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
So
And I think what just all that you said, and then there's just the hugely political piece to all of it.
Yeah.
The context.
And that is the context. And she knew what she was doing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
She's intelligent. She's in that position.
Oh, she is. Of course. Right. A gifted, smart person.
But kind of on that note, also political is.
So then there was also a prayer given by Pastor Sewell. And I don't know. I watched the prayer too. It seems so theatrical to me. But
I think that's accurate.
Yes. King Bernie, granddaughter, right?
Yeah, right.
She has been very critical of it. I kind of did some digging. It looks like they've had a few other spats.
Oh, really?
The two of them. And so, but some of it was very interesting that I saw that he was criticizing the bishop's sermon.
Oh, okay.
Saying that she had this opportunity to give the gospel message to talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and she didn't give it at all. And then I was thinking, well, your prayer didn't really have much of that in it either. Yeah. It was very, like, patriotic, which obviously, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, yeah. So she mm-hmm. did not like that he had used some of her grandfather's mm-hmm. words.
Yeah, I think that was a huge piece. You could tell, like, I mean, he was definitely using some of Martin Luther King's words mm-hmm. in his prayer. Mm-hmm. And part of that was because of the day, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, back to your phrase on brand, I mean, if you kind of follow him a little bit, then mm-hmm. his prayer was on brand. It would appear and I don't know his heart, but he's definitely trying to follow being an African American guy who is a MAGA guy, who is a pastor, and he used that moment. I mean, it was performed well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very. That was literally the word I said as well. This is very performative.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "All right, you know, the Christian, you know, the Protestant," and then he kept going like,
"Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah." What was it, my fave?
Going back, and this may be controversial for some of our listeners, but I even think going back to the whole like what's said and then the context, like Franklin Graham's prayer, like his prayer was great. Like, and if you read the text,
I didn't hear that one.
But
when
he,
did he pray? Gosh, there was
so
it
was
many
like right after that.
So many
but he actually, this is it was
in that thing in the inauguration.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yeah,
missed
it was.
That.
I think it was after. But he
I
said,
saw the Catholic, the Jew, and the Protestant.
He prayed at some point. I saw him pray at something. He prayed in the inauguration. I know.
Okay,
maybe it was
okay.
afterwards.
Okay.
Because they did go out of order because things were running behind on the schedule. And so what he prayed scripture, and it was his actual prayer was great. But then you go to context, and before the prayer, he said, "Mr. President, the last 4 years, there are times I'm sure you thought it was pretty dark, but look what God has done. Mm. We praise Him and give Him glory."
Yeah.
And I think like that context, then followed by a prayer where he prays like scripture, and I think his prayer is very appropriate and could have been prayed if Kamala had won, because he was praying for wisdom, and Lord, you tell us to pray, but that context made it seem like my side won.
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, I just think you had this opportunity to, like, you just really solidified some people's impressions of where you know. So I was a little disappointed, not in his prayer, but what he said before it. Mm-hmm. And I know some people love him, and they may not like that.
I think it's just so interesting because, and there's people in our church who I love dearly who would share like. They were praying that Trump would get elected, and he was elected, and they believe like this was God. And I mean, ultimately,
God
is sovereign
over
all the
all.
Things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but then it's like you have to say that about Biden, or had Kamala been elected as well. And to me, I'm like, I did vote. I've shared on here. I voted for Trump. I think it was the best choice for our country out of two places that I could not believe we're in this time. But like to pray in such a way with like, God granted us this victory. Like, I just think it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And again, and like the words he prayed, I mean,
he
prayed the words of Daniel. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons.
Yeah.
He removes kings and raises up kings. Like what he prayed was so appropriate, but it was just, you're given context, but you know, but we just stick to what you're praying.
And again, I think it's one thing to say as a friend to Trump, like who you've walked with, like, hey, we believe God, you believed God wanted to give this, he gave it to you, we praise the Lord. It's a different thing to do that in front of all this audience, which you're saying context. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But back to Sewell, I mean, I just, again, I think he's trying to make a name for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. It was definitely interesting to watch. Well, Trump came out with a lot of executive orders. I was actually looking at an infographic that had the amount of executive orders that he had won the first day of his last term, won. And this time, I mean, it was like 26 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then compared
He's the Joe Biden pardoner of executive, executive
yes,
orders.
Basically.
Like, Joe Biden is to pardon as Trump to executive orders.
He was like pardoning people for future crimes. It's like, wow, okay.
I know. His son could have like done whatever he wanted that weekend, you know, because it was
that's
like
true.
As of the first. It's like, really?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Who's dead because of that?
But on that.
Yeah.
He one of his executive orders was that he's rolling back DEI policies. So we have lots of big companies that are, you know, having to change things. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, a lot of companies were rolling this back even before he was elected. You know, I listened actually this morning, Target, I was listening to podcasts and they were talking about Target rolling theirs back, in the statement that Target gave was basically like, and with Target, I think would be one of the most, that was probably the most like, maybe for Christians, you know, because there was the bathroom issues that people were most upset about. Mm-hmm. And I think Target, and I think Target has been probably one of the companies who has pushed that agenda more than others. Mm-hmm. and then their profits sank and then they kind of rolled things back. And I think their language was basically like, we've learned everything we could possibly learn from it, and we don't see the value in continuing it. Also, their funding for it is going to, you know, well, and so I think that's a, they don't talk about that piece in their public statements of like the economics of it. So it is interesting. And I think, you know, bottom line for companies, it does come back to profits.
Bottom line comes down to the bottom line. Yeah. I mean, the Trump doing what he's doing, whether you like it or not, he said he was going to do all that, you know? So, I mean, it's to be expected. I do think pay attention, people of all political persuasions, and recognize that businesses are using you.
Yeah.
They do not value your values.
Oh, gosh.
They value your money.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they will say whatever.
Whatever it takes to get
you to keep the business going. And that's a good business model. But we need to be careful about attaching our fidelity to businesses thinking they have certain values. I'm not saying there aren't some that do.
Yeah. Because as soon as they see it as advantageous to shift, they will.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, whoa, wait a minute.
And there are exceptions. Yeah. I mean, Chick-fil-A obviously keeping the Sunday thing so that their employees all have a day of rest. Like, I think that's a big deal. I think that's remarkable, you know, because you know how much money they could make on Sundays from Christians.
Yeah. I mean, they need their chicken and sweet tea.
Dude, you know how many people would see at Bayshore on Sunday if we went there?
Line would be backed up to 20.
I know. Anyway, but, you know, I think it's...
Because people would feel extra pious eating it on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you said something. I think people were becoming aware of... We've talked about diversity, equality, inclusion before. Like, as an premise, that's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to be a more diverse church. We want equality in our church. Mm-hmm. We want inclusion of all people. So those are not bad things. But back, the context in our country became a very, very specific, aggressive, progressive thing. And people are just aware of, you know, okay, that didn't work. That didn't work. And again, businesses are also like, and it's hurting our profit.
Well, I think like specifically with Target, whenever they, I think, really went into the hole when they were making the children's clothing line, I think, the transgender clothes and things like that. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of customers that are not believers or Christians, but they are very like anti- any of that transgender. And so they were starting, like you were talking about the marketing, they're starting to see their pool of people that were like, this is weird. I mean, even just on social media, like people that you know do not follow the Lord.
Right.
But they were angry about Target doing that. And so they were starting to see, you know, a big dive in their sales. And so you're right. That's when it's going to start really changing things. I think it's what's interesting to me with some of it is I think that it gets lumped in, like you have, you know, all the transgender, but then you also have like the whole minority situation. It all gets lumped together, which I think is kind of unfair with it, because some, I mean, some of the proponents of DEI, I mean, it goes back to civil rights movements, but I feel after everything with really George Floyd is when it like blew up, and then it became something else. And then they started putting in all of these other things. And for businesses even to say like, well, you can't hire your a certain percentage of your people have to be of this gender, sexual orientation or color of skin. I mean, that's tricky too for people. So
the LGBT, the radical LGBTQ plus movement has always tried to attach itself.
It's
to
been
that
very strategic.
Civic rights movement, civil rights movement, because what a strong case to say, oh, so you're saying what happened 40 years ago. And it's like almost everybody was like, no, but then the way they paint it. And a lot of people are just so gullible. Is they're like, okay, you know, and I think we've seen like, we all remember we're around the same age. Like it was like, hey, you know, my bedroom, my choice. And we're like, yeah, I can see, you know, why they would say that. But it's become like, and this is going to be in your children's face.
Yes.
You know? And I think it's not God's design. And even non-Christians know certain things about order, and people have become very intolerant of how much that agenda has been pushed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so, but yeah, I think, but you know, it's interesting. You brought up the, like, if you study affirmative action, depending on what lens you look at it, there's actually like it worked, mm-hmm. or there's others who are like it didn't work, you know. And and so I think the reality of it is that it is a method,
right?
Not the method, and it has produced some positives for people who were held back in a society for a long period of time. But then at the same time, it's probably enabled some people, and so I think, you know, we as a society and leaders are always just trying to do the best, and we have to recognize and correct, but we are in a culture of overcorrection.
Right, yeah.
I think we're actually seeing that a little bit in our politics right now, and we'll probably, unfortunately, it'll swing the other way.
Right,
You know, it's like,
pendulum, for sure. Yeah. Well, another big topic has been the LA fires. We were having snow and California is burning.
Burning, so. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
You know, there have been a
That's
lot
what
of.
What happens when DeSantis is your governor? But I'm just kidding. versus
they
Newsom.
Engineer the snow for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Trump did that. Trump got elected and he was like, all right, Gavin Newsom state, fires.
Yeah, That's there funny. You go.
And there's a conspiracy for you right there.
Absolutely. Well, people, you know, it's. People think that.
He saw how red the panhandle was, and he gave us snow.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Sorry, Tallahassee. You only get a little bit because it's blue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Okay, sorry. Somebody's probably like, it's true.
No, that is.
They'll find a connection for sure. People – there have been people that are saying, well, those fires are God's judgment on them, particularly that area. A lot of, you know, actors and high-profile people that speak out, so –
Yeah.
What do you have to say when people say that?
Is it God's judgment?
Yeah.
Listen, who are we to say what is of God? What is this, you know, like, don't speak for God. I think I have seen people, you know, online saying this is God's judgment.
And really?
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is this wicked. And because so right after this happened, like right after the Golden Globes, and if you like look up the comedian, she made a joke about like God had been mentioned. And they were like, see, they're even mocking. I mean, they were literally making this connection. Like, see, they're openly mocking. Now, and then this is a godless place. But I'm like, okay.
She was like picking on
her peers. Absolutely. She was was making fun of them.
That they don't mention God.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it was. And so I think to make that connection is really bold. I think if we all deserve that, you know, like it's like the people who were like after Katrina, that was God's judgment on New Orleans for being a wicked voodoo place.
And, which he spared the French Quarter and wiped out all the poor people's
houses. Yeah, so, but, you know,
because that's how God rolls.
Exactly. Right? So I just think, I mean, all natural disasters are – should point us all to the impending judgment that is to come of the world and should humble us. And but to say, because there certainly are righteous people who know the Lord in this who've lost everything.
Yeah.
So, you can't – I mean, it is a picture of God's judgment, but is it God's judgment on that city? I don't think you could say that.
Right.
I feel – this is a confession. It's funny and it's – wrong too. So I think it was like Mandy Moore or somebody but they posted like an Instagram post about how they lost her house, which again,
it was her relative.
She's a real person.
She was saying my relative.
Their house, her house, her relatives also. Gotcha. But it was like the room in which it was like 19 rooms she started describing about the house.
And no. I
was
like,
yeah,
it's still sad, like their memories and all that, but also like
it's just tone deaf, I think. You don't realize yes, that is tragic for you. But, I mean, you're talking,
We lost the basketball court, which our kids in the bowling alley in which they first walked. You know, it's like, I'm exaggerating.
No, I totally get it, though. It is kind of crazy.
It's kind of like that, like when, during COVID, when a bunch of celebrities, all made that matchup video of Imagine. And it was so toned because they're like all these celebrities from the comfort of their own home where they can afford all this stuff. And like people are dying and people are losing their jobs and people like are really, really intensely suffering. And the celebrities are just making this feel good video
that they're going to get ad revenue for. On
YouTube. Like it's just so toned down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It totally is. I hope we're not toned down.
Lord help us.
Hope. I mean, I am when it comes to music, but you know, not political, cultural.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to sing on Sundays.
So you two do.
Yeah. You sing on Sundays, though. You lead by example.
Thank you,
man.
You do.
I like you singing. Can sing. I'm not tone deaf.
You're not. You sing on pitch.
Yeah.
That when it gets real high, and then you're like,
yeah, I just stop. Yeah, yeah.
I'm the same way. Don't
when
worry.
You sing, so. You sing low too.
When you sing His Mercy Is More, I'm like, I'm not going there with you, brother.
Kelly can sing lower than I can. So
we're like usually switch parts. It's kind of weird. Oh boy. Well, that's all we have for today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.